The special takanas chazal that you're supposed to lay in these parshas right before Rosh Hashanah. They will lay in Kisavo, Nitzam, Vayelech, come right before Rosh Hashanah. Kisavo, Nitzavim, the way Tosis understands it. And there are a lot of layers of connection that these parshas have in preparing us for Rosh Hashanah. So what we're about to do is both a haschala in terms of Inyan and Yoma, and preparing ourselves in a substantive way in terms of from a learning perspective to fully soak in the days of Slichas and Rosh Hashanah, Saras Mechuv, Yom Kippur, and that's a process we're going to be continuing. The learning as a hachana for the days to come, that's a process that's going to continue going forward. And at the same time, we're also learning this limud of the Sedra is also going to be our haschala in terms of this new layer, as we talked about before, learn Chumash B'Iyan. So by way of introduction, we're going to dive into some of the psuk in a moment, at the end of Parshas Nitzavim, and see some of the comments of the Ramban. And just to appreciate a little bit of what one might expect to find the Ramban. So, okay, I told you, if you learn Ramban, it's going to be a whole new layer. Like, okay, look, I've learned Chumash Mefarsh in the past. Well, what's the difference? So consider the following. The following simple fact. I think I may have mentioned to some of you in the past. As far as I know, the Ramban is the first major Mefarsh, maybe the first Mefarsh, who writes a Hakdama to each Sefer of Chumash. And grapples with what's the Hakdama to Shmos, what's Sefer Shmos about? What's Sefer Vayikra about? Which, for most of us, probably aren't questions we actually ever asked ourselves. Certainly not questions that we sought to answer in a methodical way. What is Sefer Shmos about? I don't know, it has a lot of things in it. Golas, and then Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Torah, and then the Mishkan. Ramban works very hard to figure out what is the theme of Sefer Shmos. Every Sefer has a Hakdama, and that reflects a certain overall bent of mind of the Ramban to look both locally and globally. Now, he's, like Rashi, he's very focused on the Pasuk by Pasuk, but he's also giving us a strong sense of zoom out and what's the bigger picture about. What's this Parsha about? What's the whole Sefer about? And another major difference between learning Chumash with Rashi and learning Chumash with Ramban, in addition to the perspective, is the Ramban, there's much more, as with learning Gemara with Ramban and Rajba and Rabbeinu with David, there'd be a lot of maso matan. Sometimes subtle, sometimes the questions are stated, sometimes they're not stated, but he's going to have, he's introduced us into a real shock of the Tari in the Pesukim. So let's dive in. Haschala in terms of this round, we'll learn Chumash Ramban, and Haschala in our Hachana, in our El Tafshin Pei, Avoda, preparing for the Yom Ram. So the Parsha Kisavo had ended with the Tochacha, with the Brachas, when Klal Yisrael behaved properly, and the frightening Klalos, what's going to be when we're sent into Galus. And the beginning of Nitzavim continues with that. The beginning of Nitzavim is sobering. The beginning of Nitzavim, the part that we've been laning, Shabbos Mincha, Monday, then again this morning, is about going into Galus and about negative consequences for negative actions. Then comes the positive part. You don't hear the positive part so often. You only get to hear it on Shabbos morning. Perek Lami, take a little Chumash in front of you. When this is going to happen, and Klal Yisrael will go through many different events, and there'll be good times, there'll be bad times. You're going to do tshuva. The pasuk says in Perek Al, Perek Lam, Pasuk Alf, Pasuk Beis, V'shavta Hashem Lekecha, come back to Ribono Shalom, and HaKadosh Baruch will bring us back. Pasuk Gimel, V'shav Hashem Lekecha Shmuscha. Rechamecha, Kadosh Baruch will bring us back. The kibetcha mikol ha'am asher afitzcha shem lekech ha'shama. Kadosh Baruch is going to begin to gather us back from all the nations that to which he has scattered us. that Hashem is going to bring us back to Eretz Yisrael. And those psukim are certainly psukim that we have gotten to see the beginning of the fulfillment of these nevuas in our lifetimes, in our parents' lifetimes, of the last century. Over the last couple of decades, we've seen a re-sparking of tshuva. Over the last century, we've seen Klal Yisrael beginning to return. The process is not complete, but Klal Yisrael has been literally begun to return in significant numbers from all over the globe. The Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, whose parents lived just about every continent, all over, in great numbers. We've begun to see we've seen the beginning of this process, the beginning of these nevuas, of these haftachas. And then comes a very famous passage. If you're looking in the Chumash, you see Shishi is very short, and then comes Shavii. Ki ha-mitzvah hazos ha-shar nochi mitzavach ha-yom. Perek la'an pasuk yidalev. Lo nefleisi mimcha v'lo rechokahi. This mitzvah. This pasuk was made famous by Avram Fried. And before him it was made famous. You have to be holding vintage Fried. The pasuk was also made famous by the Tana Rabbi Yehoshua. The next pasuk. Pasuk Yidalev says, this mitzvah which I'm giving you, lo nefleisi mimcha, it's not so far away. V'lo rechokahi. It's not distant, it's not remote, it's not up in the sky, it's not on the other side of the ocean. Lo b'shamayimi, it's not in the sky. They have to say, Miyalan Hashamayim Yikachelanu, who's going to fly up into outer space to bring the Torah down, to bring this mitzvah down? Lo me'ivra yami, it's on the other side of the ocean, that you would need to say, Miyavra lanu e'ivra yami Yikachelanu, who's going to travel for us across the ocean and bring it back? We don't need a space shuttle. We don't even need Columbus. This mitzvah is very, very close. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. To be able to do it. I think we were talking the other day about the three dimensions of Avonos Hashem. Avonos Hashem is sometimes b'masa, sometimes b'dibur, sometimes machshava. Actions that I do or don't do, and then there's a level of speech, how I speak, what I say, and then there's the inner chovas halavavas, what I think and what I feel, what my attitudes are, so that the machshava dibur maisa can be traced back to this pasuk. Beficha uvavavcha la'asosa. Dibur, machshava, and maisa. What's most mysterious about the last few pesukos? Yidalef Yudbeis is given. Yidalev. Yeah, which mitzvah? Which is the mitzvah? Ha-mitzvah ha-zos. Well, which one? Which one? So maybe it's Torah. As a matter of fact, you take a look at Rashi and Pasuk Yidalev, if you have Rashi. Ha-Torah nitna lachem b'ksavu ba'per? The pen and the lathe, that's a reference that it's very close. I told you before, the psukim made famous before Avram Fried by the Tanner of Yeshua. How did psukim make famous by the Tanner of Yeshua? There's a phrase here that you might have recognized from a very famous story. Gemara tells a story about Metzia of a vigorous machlokas in the world of Tumah and Tara between Rabbi Eliezer and the other Tana. This is the generation after the Churban. Oh. They're in Yavne, and they're arguing about a detail, but you have a particular type of oven, Tamar Shal Knai, an oven that's made with ceramic, but it looks like it's sort of you could take it apart and rebuild it. That's what it sounds like. It has like sand in between. The Bekitzer, Machlokes, Rebbe Elazar, the Chachamim, is this, an oven is usually Mekabel Tumah, it's a Kli, it's Mekabel Tumah. The question was, does this fit the parameters of an oven to be Mekabel Tumah? A detailed Machlokes, an important Machlokes, plenty of Nafkaminas. I have that oven in my kitchen, a Dover Tameh touched it, then I touched it, or a food touched it, so is the food Tameh? Get practical Shaila. I have Truman that touched that oven. If the oven is Mekabel Tumah, the Truman has to be disposed of. It's God is not makabel tumanah. It's going to come up practical shaila. Rabbi Elazar and Chacham are debating it and they're discussing back and forth. Each one has rayas. They don't come to a conclusion. Neither side is convinced of the other side. Rabbi Elazar is only b'shalal. Okay. So what do you do? Back then you have a Sanhedrin. You vote. So Gemara says, they voted. And? Well, everyone disagreed with Rabbi Elazar, so it's not hard to imagine how that went. Electoral college or no, right? The majority was strongly against Rabbi Elazar. So Rabbi Elazar loses. And Rabbi Elazar said, I did not lose. He refused to accept the results of the vote. He says, but I know that I'm right. I know that I'm right. Kach mekublani, I'm convinced that I'm right and you're all wrong. So they said to him, okay, you're entitled to your opinion. And the Torah says, Acharav Mahatos, we voted, you lost. If you want to reopen the issue another time, we could discuss it again. But we discussed, we heard you heard us, and that was the vote. So he says, absolutely not, I'm right. The Gemara tells a very, the final part of the story is the part that's most vivid and probably the part that you've heard of, even if you haven't heard of the beginning. And it brings us to this pasuk. Rabbi Elazar says, I'm so convinced I'm right, let there be miracles to demonstrate that I'm right. And he calls for several miracles, and they start to happen. He calls for the water channel outside the Beis Medrash to start flowing in the opposite direction against gravity, and it does. He calls for the trees to start moving around, uproot themselves and shift over, and they do. And he says, let the walls of the Beis Medrash prove that I'm right. And the walls of the Beis Medrash begin to collapse. And the Gemara says, the Tatar of Yeshua was one of those who was a peer of Lezer, who was one of those who disagreed with him. He said, because the walls, what are you getting involved? Tell me how you're arguing about learning. Who do you think you are? So the walls of the Beis Medrash freeze. Fascinating. And then Lezer says, if I'm right, Mirashamayim Yochichu, there should be direct proof from heaven. And on cue, a Basco heavenly voice comes out of Shamayim and says, of course he passes like a blessing. Wow. That sounds like a checkmate. A direct voice from Shemayim said he's right. Amar Yishua al-Rag, Yishua gets up on his feet, the Gemara says, and he says, it's a pasuk in Chumash, the one we just read. Lo v'Shemayim. We don't pasuk in halacha based on the heavens. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us in the Chumash, numerous times, both explicitly and implicitly, and this is one of the places, that once Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, Torah will no longer be delivered through prophecy. Torah will no longer be delivered, there will not be ongoing revelation. That's why we reject Christianity and Islam, because they believe that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, but they claim, heretically, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu came back again and gave new Nevuah to supersede the old. It says in the Chumash many times, including right here, Lo b'Shamayimi. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu is done conveying Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not coming from the heavens anymore. What do you mean it's not coming from the heavens? Meaning from now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the text of Chumash through Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the core of Torah Shel Peh through Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the tools to interpret, to dig into the Chumash, and to derive the additional nuggets of meaning that he left for us to find, to discover, called the Midosh Shachon HaDrashas Ben. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, after Moshe Rabbeinu dies, the faucet gets turned off. Now, Klal Yisrael are on their own, the Chachmei HaTorah have to work and have to figure it out, to use what you have, use what you know, and figure it out. Lo b'Shamayimi. If Yeshua says, we don't paskin based on a Basko. We don't paskin based on a Nevuah. It doesn't work that way. And that's the end of the main part of the story. There's an epilogue, which maybe we'll save. We'll talk more some other time, where Rabbi Eliezer persists, and ultimately they put him into Chirim, because he's refusing to accept the authority of the Sanhedrin, so he has to daven b'yichidus, because he's not allowed to come to shul anymore, because he's in Chirim. And the twist, the Gemara says, is that Rabbi Eliezer's wife was Rabbi Gamliel's sister. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi. He was the president of the Sanhedrin, the chief rabbi. Rabbi Gamliel's sister was Rebbetzin Eliezer. She was in a complicated position. So she was very worried. Gemara says that her husband's going to, if her husband's going to daven in full strength, something may happen to the Sanhedrin in general or to her brother, who's the head of the Sanhedrin in particular. So what did she do? It's a kedai to hear, if you're a part of our, a different part of our Hanukkah of Rosh Hashanah. He's davening at home every day. He has to daven, but he can't daven in the Tzibur because he's in the favor. Every single day, without fail, she would go into his study and disrupt him in the middle of Shachris, maybe Mincha also, in between Shmona Esrei and Tachin. She would not let him go straight from Shmona Esrei to Tachin. In doing so, she would weaken the potency of his tefillah. And that's every single day. She managed to find some excuse to walk in, and I question about this, I question about that. She was always mafsek in between Shmona Esrei and Tachin. Gemara says there was one day she thought it was already Rosh Chodesh, but in fact Rosh Chodesh was the next day. Toi bibur diyarcha. So he was saying Tachan. She thought he wasn't saying Tachan. She thought it was Rosh Chodesh. So she thought he was going from Shachar to Musaf. He was going from Shachar to Tachan. So she wasn't mafsik him, and he went straight, and he had a more potent, more powerful Shmona Esrei. The Gemara says that day, Gamliel happened to be at sea. You know, Gamliel took several journeys in boats on the Mediterranean, probably to Rome, to negotiate with the Roman Empire on behalf of the Jewish people. But there are several records of Rav Gamliel and sometimes his peers on boats for long periods of time. Gamliel is at sea, and there's a terrible storm. Rav Lezer succeeds in davening Shmona Esrei and Tachan together. The terrible storm, and the Gemara describes the tefillah that Rav Gamliel gives, and ultimately, the storm subsides. Fascinating. So, a lot to say about that epilogue, though it's not really our focus right now. A lot to say about the epilogue. One thing I would say is, you, in terms of halachos, you learn from there not only that they don't say Tachanun Rosh Chodesh, when it actually is Rosh Chodesh, you don't say Tachanun, but something more critical, perhaps, for our avoda right now, is that your davening can really make impact. And there are ways to enhance tefillah. And one of them, as the Rambam points out in Parakei Vilchos Tefillah, probably based on this Gemara, is that Tachanun is a tefillah enhancer. Tachanun is a power multiplier on your Shmona Esrei. Sometimes people have this like funny relationship with Tachanun. Some could probably get a master's in sociology, studying the mystery, like, of the relationship that Orthodox Jews have with Tachanun. It's like such a, it's so bizarre. People get so excited to skip Tachanun. But then they'll sit and schmooze after davening for 5 minutes, longer they would have taken to say Tachanun. I'm not sure why people get so excited about skipping Tachanun. It's a thing. Even Monday, Thursday. How long is Tachanun already? You're inside, so if you're in a rush to catch a train, a plane, maybe. So it's like a funny, quote-unquote, minhag. That's like, but the Gemara says, in fact, there are times you don't say Tachanun, but Tachanun is a gift. Tachanun multiplies the impact, the power, the efficacy of your tefillah. Okay. There's something to think about in terms of your pre-Rosh Hashanah tefillah hachamah. But let's come back to the core of the story. Rabbi Yoshua said, as Akiva mentioned, Lo bashamayimi. Lo bashamayimi. He said, Parshas Nitzavim. We're not, this is not up, no, this is no longer in the heavens. It has to be decided down here through the efforts of Chachmei HaTorah. Chachmei HaTorah doing their honest best to try to figure out what the halacha should be. But you figure it out to the best of your ability, given what you have, trying your hardest to understand what's Kavanas HaBorei, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have in mind, and that's binding halacha. Lo Bashamayimi. Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. We no longer have a direct line to Shamayim, to ask Kadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know what the din is. And that's exactly what Akiva was saying before. That Gemara indicates that the mitzvah that we're talking about here is Torah. The Talmud Torah. And you had mentioned also that some of the earlier Pesukim mentioned Talmud Torah as well. Take a look at the Rabban. Pasuk Yud Aleph. The ta'am ki ha-mitzvah hazos. Now, we've been using the word ta'am the last few days in Pesachim to mean the reason for something. What's the ta'am for bedikas chametz? But you should know that when the Ramban al-HaTorah used the word ta'am, he uses it to mean perish. The ta'am ha-mitzvah hazos, what's the, how do you translate, how do you explain ha-mitzvah hazos? Kol ha-Torah kula. It's all of Torah. But then he says, in a classic Ramban fashion, he says, the one hand that's attractive, he doesn't even mention the Gemara, doesn't mention the last row. Sukkim, he says, offhand you would think, and I mean, so means Torah. And again, and the Sukkim are saying, both in terms of Rabbi Yoshua's halachic aspect, in terms of how do you decide halacha, and Pashut, the simple meaning of what the Sukkim are saying, it's not impossible, it's not on the other side of the ocean, it's doable. It's within your grasp. You got to work hard, but it's within your grasp. It's not in outer space. Not just learning Torah, but living Torah. It's not in outer space. You can do this. The Hanachon, but then he says, what I think is really correct, Ki akol ha-Torah yomar kol ha-mitzvah shenokhim tzav chayom. If you're talking about the entire Torah, you would say, kol ha-mitzvah. Ha mitzvah, the mitzvah. So he says, the mitzvah, so it could be a reference to limud ha-Torah. He was suggesting at first it's a reference to the entire Torah, all of the mitzvahs. But if it's all the mitzvahs, it shouldn't be ha mitzvahs, though. It should be kol ha mitzvah. And he brings you a raya. He didn't make a big deal of it. He just said it. You see that number 67 tells you, yeah, he quoted a positive earlier. Parakhas, in Sefer Dvar. Kol ha mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs. Aval ha mitzvah hazos, if it just says the mitzvah, not all of the mitzvah, al hatshuva hanizkenes. All the ones where I keep saying, he said, let's look back at the end. What's the antecedent? What's the prior item that we mentioned? He says it's tshuva. As you saw, the beginning of Perek Lamed, the hashevosa, the shavta, Perek pasuk aleph, pasuk beis, the hashevosa el avecha, the shavta Hashem elokecha. Mitzvah, she tzaveh osanu lasos ken. It's a mitzvah because he's commanding us to do tshuva. There's a chiyuv to do tshuva. And the Ramban is bothered. Is there a chiyuv to do tshuva? Is there a chiyuv to do tshuva? Someone says, I told you, often the Ramban will not ask his questions, say the questions out directly, but as we saw in the post, we've been working on the top of Pesach and Gavet, somebody sort of give an answer, but it's clear from the answer what the implied question is. V'nemar b'loshin ha-benuni, that it was said grammatically in a different mood, it was said as, here's what will happen, not here's what you must do. It didn't say tashuv. V'ashevosa, this is what's going to tell a story. You're going to be out in Galus and you're going to do tshuva. So is that a mitzvah? On the one hand, we'd like to say it's a mitzvah. Ki ha-mitzvah zos. Tshuva is a mitzvah, but is it a mitzvah? Is it Hashem telling us you must do tshuva, or is Hashem telling us you will do tshuva? Or is it just narrative? So he says, why was it? It really is a mitzvah. How do I know it's a tzivu? Because the Torah here says, ha-mitzvah zos. It's a commandment. Mitzvah doesn't mean a good deed. Mitzvahs are good deeds. The word mitzvah means a tzivu, a commandment. It's something you're obligated to. Kadosh Baruch Hu is expecting us to do tshuva. Earlier, it sounded like it was just, here's what's going to happen. L'rmoz b'havetacha ki asid ha-davar li'oskin. It's to indicate to us that this is what's going to happen. That's what the Rambam quotes as well. The Rambam, at great length, talks about the mitzvah of tshuva, with specifics. He has Hilchos tshuva. It's 10 proper Hilchos tshuva. But then, he goes on to say in Parak Zayin, Asid in Yisrael asa tshuva, based on the Gemara. The Jews will do tshuva. That's an interesting combination. It's an interesting combination, especially since the next Ramban goes on to point out that the next topic here, the end of Parashas Nitzavim, is the topic of, you take a look, Pasuk Tezvav. Re'ena sati lefnecha yom eshachayim eshatov eshamov eshasara. Where Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Pasuk, look, Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving you choices here. Life and death. Good and bad. Bechir chafshes. You have the right to make real choices. A mitzvah means, you get to choose. You're going to do the right thing, you do the wrong thing. A mitzvah means, I have bechir chafshes. So which one is it? Is tshuva a mitzvah? Or is tshuva a fact? A havtacha. A seed in Yisrael lasses tshuva. And coming back to Rabbi and Paziyav, he goes on to say, look. It will happen. Which one is it? So keep reading. And he says, Hatam Lemor, what this means is, we're going to wrap up in the next couple minutes. Now the Baruch Hashem, we have company in this marriage. You're going to be so far out, at the end of the globe. Not that Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring us back, but we're able to do tshuva. Here we come back to where we started. These psukim, he says, what the Torah is telling me, the Rabban says, if the mitzvah is not all of Torah, but the mitzvah is specifically tshuva, what we're saying is tshuva is really possible. You actually can do tshuva. A Jew thinks, how could I? I'm stuck in this rut for so long. This is where I've been for 50, 60 years. No one hears at all. This is where I've been for the last 3 years. This is where I've been for the last 5 years. I don't do X. I don't do Y. I'm not talking about formers. Lashon Hara is just not my thing. Not being nasty to people. I know it's a pasuk in the Chumash, and I'll be nasty to people. Whatever. I'm really good. I have a great sense of humor. I have an awesome sense of timing. Those one-liners, those zingers just come flowing out. It's just who I am. How could I change? I've got myself into whatever type of schmutz it is. It's just a given. What the Torah is saying is, no, tshuva is very doable. Don't think that to change is outer space. Don't think that to change is the other side of the ocean. It is doable. No matter where you are spiritually, and no matter where you are geographically, you're far from Eretz Yisrael, you're deep into Golos, it's absolutely doable. Ein hadavar nifla rachok mimcha, karov elachem ma'od la'asosu b'chol eis u'b'chol makom. There's much more to say about this, about the topic of Bechira Chafshis as well, as Ramban talks about in the previous piece, but I think we're going to wrap up here, again with a just to recap where we've been. You have this mysterious parasha, and until Ramban opened our eyes, we just would have said, okay, beautiful psukim. What does he mean? I don't know. It's saying, Yiddishkeit, Lo Rechoka, okay, good, inspiring. Ramban says, no, what does it mean? Does it mean Talmud Torah? Does it mean mitzvahs in general? Or maybe it means the mitzvah of tshuva. And specifically saying that yes, we have the Bechira Chafshis, we can certainly choose to do the wrong thing, but you also really have access to doing the right thing. And even when we think that to change, to do the right thing is totally beyond us, we're sunken into galus, we're sunken into a rut, we're sunken into a groove. Lo b'ashamayimi. Lo nefleisim l'chal l'rachok ehi. If we're willing to put in the effort, tshuva is really doable. We're going to switch gears right now.